I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Play Retro. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and I need just one more flame boost to beat this boss.
Just one more is all you need?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I need? I need my show notes pulled up so I can read my intro. Oh, hi, I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think I have made a horrible mistake with the placement of that last bomb. What do you mean I have to exit the plane? I'm just talking about Bomberman.
Yeah, of course you were. Of course you were.
Bomb. Shut your mouth.
We got a lot to say about the Bomberman, the nearly 100 games made with the name Bomberman on it, or at least some association with Bomberman.
Here's Scott last week. Hey, Brian. Yeah, Scott. We should do Bomberman. I'm like, cool. What's there, like 6, 7 of those? I don't really remember. I didn't play a lot of Bomberman back in the day.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's dive in.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, and then you found out there was a whole sea behind that seawall, and there's a ton of it. And I ended up playing, well, I didn't play 100 games, but I played at least 15, 16 Bomberman.
That's pretty impressive. And yeah. I know some of them are, you know, a lot of the same stuff, but there's a lot of variations, really.
Yeah, more than you'd think. Won't. Yeah, and you're going to be a little surprised by, because everyone thinks, oh, Bomberman, that's just multiplayer. You'll be surprised how much I love the single player stuff in all these games. That was my favorite part of this stuff. And I played some multiplayer as well, and it's great. Don't get me wrong. One of the greatest party games ever made, but there's some single player shit I am going to get into today, and it's going to blow your mind. All right. They have found.
Wait, it's going to blow my mind. Like you're going to set a bomb next to me, walk away.
Yep.
And then vertical and horizontal explosions are going to happen.
Yeah.
And my mind's going to be blown.
I'm going to hide behind the wrong rock and realize that I put a bomb there also and then die. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Many times this past week, I have locked myself into a corner.
Yeah,
I'm like,
dude.
I'm just going to run, throw this bomb. We're like, oh, no.
That happens all the time. It's the point of the game. I understand, you know, the core gameplay has always been there to do that to you. And
it is.
It's surprising sometimes. Because some of these single player experiences were designed to, you know, if you blew yourself up, you could keep going and working on what you were on. But most of them, especially the 16-bit era stuff, you start your ass over. you don't half the board's cleared. Nope. You start over and clear the board again. You don't have any enhancements or like power-ups or anything yet. You do it over. Yeah, it's pretty serious stuff.
Wow. We must be pretty hot on Bomberman. We don't usually start out our show by talking about the thing we're going to be talking about. Usually we talk about the things we've been doing that week. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing. I actually will tell you real quick this week. It feels like a lot of my gaming has been retro-fueled since we started this show. And for good or for ill, I just have been so all in on not just retro games, but games that are new today that harken back to that stuff. And, you know, somebody might say, well, Scott, do you just mean like pixel graphics and stuff? No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, that's part of it. The aesthetic is certainly there. But in a lot of cases, just like simple mechanical gameplay of yesteryear. And sometimes it's like difficulty of yesteryear, which is a lot harder than it is these days. Some of that stuff's been very attractive to me. For example, I played a whole bunch of Super Mega Baseball 3, which ironically just showed up on Game Pass, so you have no reason not to play it now. If you like baseball,
like baseball,
but you prefer not to be like a sim, you know, where it's like super serious and everything's accurate and teams are all have real names and stuff. Like if you don't care about that stuff.
I like baseball as an arcade game. There.
That's what I mean. That's a way better way of saying what I was trying to say. Super Mega Baseball 3, like 2 and 1 before it, are definitely that. They're arcadey as hell. Really fun. Goofy as hell. They got crazy names for teams and stuff. I loved that fake team stuff back in the day. That was never a problem for me. But it has some of the best batting and pitching mechanics of any baseball game, simulation or not. So I played a ton of that.
I just need to know one thing to know whether I play this or not. How big are their heads in relation to their bodies?
they're bigger than regular humans, but
okay.
But they're not too crazy. It's not too crazy.
The larger the noggin, the more likely I am to play it.
Oh, well, then you're going to love it because all their heads are bigger than they should be.
Oh, perfect.
There may
perfect.
Even be a mode to make their heads even larger than they are, but it's definitely in that vein of, like, you know, the NBA Jam, NFL Blitz, NHL Hits sort of era of that sort of thing. But they're real games of baseball. It's 9 innings, you know, you're trying to hit home runs and get bases loaded and runners on base and all that, and there's a whole fielding mechanic to the whole thing, but it just feels really good and really straddles perfectly, I think, that line of, like, I want to play serious baseball, but I don't want to be so serious about it. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's a gamer's video game. So even if you don't like sports games, you'd still have a good time with this, I think. And then that, in addition to every Bomberman game it felt like ever made. Oh, look at you, Hardball 94. What do you got? That's not the best baseball game on the Genesis, I'm afraid. I hate to tell you.
No, it's not. But I still appreciate this game. I haven't played it yet.
It's okay.
But it came in with the hockey. So hockey, we're going to do that. Yeah. We're going to give that. We got this Madden, of course, too. So
yeah,
a little more sports ball coming in our future. These are probably, since these are like 16. Oh, no, this is, since these are older, they're a little more fun.
Yeah, I know. I love my preferred hockey, football, all that stuff was back in the 16-bit days, 100%, including Madden. I just thought Madden was more fun. When it started to get real simmy, it bores me. But when you're just like, I'm Hail Mary to that pixelated dude, it's more fun. Anyway, Brian, you've been in cable hell. Tell me why that's going on.
I've been in cable hell, Scott. Okay, so you may be picking up some old consoles like me. I'm not sure if you've been looking. You're mostly been trying to work on that arcade machine. I'm not sure if you really focus on the console stuff, but I have been.
Not so much. I'm not that. I don't want to get a bunch of. Here's where Brian and I are different. I would love to have all my console hardware back, or to pick up some again. If somebody's got an old Genesis or something, hook me up. Let me know. But I don't want to get into this TV business you're in, because it all weighs too much and are huge and lame and eat power like crazy and are hard to maintain and move. So I don't want TVs. I'm fine with LEDs and LCDs and being able to hook that stuff up with, like, you know, cable converters and junk like that.
Well,
so
good news, patron supporters. I've acquired a Sony 36-inch Vega Triniton, and I have decided that my small in-home office has now just so full of stuff. I can't move in here. So we're going to take the garage, and we don't ever park in our garage. We live in the South. There's not a lot of reason to park in our garage. And so I'm going to gut it, and I'm going to film the process. I'm going to gut it all out, and I'm going to set up a nice new studio throughout this year. I'm going to be taking all the support money that I get from Twitch and the Patreon stuff and everything. Yeah. I'm going to pour it into that studio, and I'm going to make some places to do some cool stuff. Yeah, there's that Sony Vega looks like right there. It's going to be huge, 36 inches, almost 300 pounds worth of CRT. So we're going to see how that is. I'm going to get my light guns out. And we're gonna have some fun with that later this year. So that's my
project. I have no nostalgia for giant heavy monitors because I actually really appreciate the technology and how it's matured and now where we are. It's to the point that I just can't freaking bother with it. I'd rather have an LED with a good shader. That's it.
Right. Now you can't see. I'm kind of like, and so we're good. We're good friends. If we lived across the road from each other, which we need to, you'd have your arcade set up with your arcade machines. You'd probably fill your garage full of arcades. Sure. And I'd have, you come to my house and we'd have a retro, you know, console area. And that's what we'd do.
Here's what we do. So we buy some land in South Carolina. We take an old warehouse that used to have, you know, I don't know, Mexican dildos in it or whatever it used to house. Okay. I don't know why I got so specific there. I'm sorry.
You'd probably have a lot better chance of finding used tire storage. That's usually what we have around.
Yeah. Let's get those out of there before they catch on fire and burn half the city down. And then we load it. Just make an amazing, you know, 4,000 square foot freaking arcade, retro console, a bunch of MAME emulating machines doing stuff.
Yes.
Food, soda until you die. Oh my gosh. Look,
I keep hearing everybody complain about the CRT weights. I've already thought about this for the new studio. Everything's going to be on wheels. So it's going to be lifted. I've got a nice hand truck. I'm going to get some things that are for lifting. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend any energy. I'm going to work smart like a grown up and not some teenager who was trying to get his friends to move, you know, a 36 inch TV up to his upstairs apartment. No, I'm a grown man. We're going to do this safely.
You're going to do it the safe way.
And we're going to put all these things on wheels and it's going to be super easy to move around. Yeah, I've already planned
whatever you
stuff.
Do anyway, though, whatever you lift, if you do lift anything, use your legs, use your, you know, do the health thing. Like they always tell
you. I'm not using my legs. I'm going to use the legs of,
yeah, get the boy
other
in there.
People.
Yeah, get other people to do
crazy?
It. So here's the here's my other question. You called it. What do you call this TV? What is the model? What do you call it again?
It's a Sony Trinitron. It's a Vega.
I thought it was a Trinitron.
Trinitron.
Is it Trinitron or Trinitron?
It's Trinitron. I do sometimes say it too fast and say Trinitron, but it's not. It's Trinitron.
Is it Peloton or Pelotron?
There's a Tron at the end of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I skip it. And it's pronounced Vega, even though it's spelled Wega. So, yeah.
Okay, but when that new Tron movie came out, did you call it Tron Legacy?
If I felt like it.
Okay. All right, you're allowed. You should do whatever you want to do. I think that's totally fine. But anyway.
But back to my cabling situation.
Back to your cable.
I got some S-Video cables because all my new TVs, my CRTs, all have S-Video and component, and I'm plugging in. Look, it's looking really good. I'm liking that. And I also forgot something, that my original Wii has the ability to accept GameCube games. And I just realized it while I was messing with the GameCube, and I was like, I think I can remember you can put these discs in the Wii.
Yeah, it was
that
backwards
was a big
compatible.
Risk for me because I was going to look it up. I'm like, I better go look and make sure that's true. Because, you know, the discs are like small discs, but then it's the little slide slot. So you got the slide slot in there. I was thinking, if I put this little teeny disc in there.
Is it ever coming out? Yeah. No, we did the same. That's how we played Smash Brothers. What's the GameCube Smash Brothers? Whatever that was. The one where they never patched it and Kirby's the best.
Cube Brothers.
Cube Brothers.
Really
whatever the hell they called
the cube,
it. Smash Brothers Junior. Nope. Smash Brothers Ultimate. No. Whatever it was. Anyway, we wanted to keep playing that. The kids did. So we moved it from, we took that little tiny disc because we were told you could. And I remember it was scary the first time. And you just slide that into your Wii and the Wii goes, om nom 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 nom. And played it.
You go, because you do the reading and it's like, oh, the first generation, if you've looked up the number correctly, will accept the disc. And I'm like, oh, God, I think I did all my homework.
Yeah.
And I go stick it in there. And it's just like, oh, please, because I only got like one Metroid Prime. And it's like,
Yeah, exactly. So I was just showing the chat room a bunch of component cables.
And
you guys
cable for my Wii.
Yeah, and you should. And you guys in the chat, you've forgotten what it used to be like. Not that long ago, before HDMI, and that was all standardized. HDMI changed your lives. Okay, we all felt the change. It's an amazing change. But in the day, if you wanted fidelity in the 480p range, you went component, baby. That was how you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a huge difference between composite and component. And even S-Video, I've got S-Video. It's got some great clarity on this Sharp TV I have right now. There's not a lot of difference between the S-Video and the component. Component should give me a little bit better color reproduction, but on the Sharp TV I got, I'm not really going to notice it. Yeah. There they are. There's all the composite. That's shit.
Yep, they're the worst.
Don't look at that.
It's the worst.
It's desperation.
You're right. That's like going, you know what? I need to dance with somebody. I'll take the sweaty hobo. Don't take the sweaty hobo. Okay.
And then if you're overseas, you maybe you're looking at the SCARTs, right? We don't have any TVs that accept SCARTs. We'd have to have a converter and everything else. But
yeah,
there's a lot of better formats than composite.
Well,
many.
Well, there you go. Busy cables, busy world, everyone.
Man, but the whole reason why I was wanting to bring all that up, I didn't mean to get all this side tangent, but the whole reason why I was bringing that up is because you can get a GameCube. You can pick up a GameCube for about $100, and that's a GameCube, a game, and probably a controller, maybe even two. But then all the component cables are like $60.
Yeah, they're
60,
outrageous.
$70.
Yeah,
and you have to wait forever, and it's like, please, will you please?
And those TVs you keep getting off the guy who steals them and puts them in his trunk and drives to your place. That guy, he's going to run out eventually because they don't make CRTs anymore, and you're going to have to. You're just going to have to suck it up and play with a crap monitor. You know. I don't know how you're going to do. I'm sure there's component to HDMI converters, right? There has to be.
There is. And oh my God, you want to get, okay, I'm getting way off track. I don't know. Maybe you guys love it. You'd let us know. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. Do you want to hear more tech talk? Because I've got a lot of tech talk, and we can also do it in our Discord server. I've started looking at things like, okay, well, I want to split this off because I want to see it on my CRT, but I also want to capture it. So I'm going to need to have some way to send S video. I got to split it, and you can't just split S video because the video degrades quickly.
Right.
So you have to have some boosters. And is that booster a good booster? I don't know. There's a large component that does all of this stuff for you that's expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm just having to make decisions.
There's some cool Chinese stuff you can put in between things that will do everything from what was it called? Not Elkart. That weird European connection. I forgot the name of it.
S-Cart,
that's it.
SCART,
plus every other kind of thing, and you can take that whole schmear and make it work, and it's expensive, though. People that are into that stuff are going to pay out their bunghole for it.
And you know what the worst part is?
What?
You know what the worst part is? I'm doing most of this for the streaming, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what I see doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't
matter. I mean, because it's important to me, but is it really that important?
No.
I don't know.
No, it's not. It turns out it's not. I'm telling you right now, it's not. But I appreciate your adherence to the originalness of everything and trying to like live in that moment in a modern, in a modern time, but bring it back in that way. I respect that. I support it. I think that's great. So don't change, Brian.
I can't change even if I wanted to.
Unless you're wearing a bunny suit. Then change. Please change. I don't know.
What if I wear both?
Then you're screwed.
Bye.
Shall we play a game?
Yes, we shall. That's a long intro. I should shorten it. So look at this. Check this out. We're doing Bomberman. You may have gotten the hint earlier that we're going to talk about Bomberman today. And I'm very excited to do so, mostly because, as it turns out, I'm a bigger Bomberman fan than I gave myself credit for. I've always enjoyed Bomberman. I've always thought it was great. It was always something I looked forward to. Multiplayer, single player, all that stuff. But I don't think I really knew quite how into it I am until this week, because the core gameplay of all the Bomberman games, and they all share at least some of that DNA, is still incredibly compelling for me as a gameplay loop. Starting on a grid full of blockage, a bunch of creatures I got to try to kill, hidden power-ups inside blocks I need to blow up, trying not to kill myself, but also getting lucky and killing two of them at once. And some, just the intensity of like not wanting to screw up, but also clearing that level, getting the hell out of there, getting to a boss after three or four levels. That loop, I have missed that like more than I thought I was going to miss it. And I went hard this week.
Yes.
Like really, really hard down the path. Right now, what you're looking at on screen, chat, people at home won't be able to see this, but the Sega Saturn version of the game, which we'll talk about in more detail later and kind of where it stacks up with the rest of the games.
Right now we're watching the cartoon intro, which is amazing because remember, this is Saturn. So we have our CD, we have our multimedia playing.
Yeah. The only downside is they still shrunk the video a little bit because those devices still weren't, you know, like this isn't full.
Yeah, they were
full
40 at least. Yeah. Well, if they're lucky.
Yeah. If you're lucky. So it was, you know, Sonic CD did this on the Sega CD a little bit, had a weird anime intro. This thing's basically got that. Look at that turd looking earth thing. Anyway, you
know, it's blowing up like a big old bomb fart.
So this thing had a cool intro. It was unusual in that way, but that's just one of nearly 100 games.
100 games.
Now, I didn't play all those this week.
And I can't find a hard number because it is so difficult to count every Bomberman instance that was released in every location around the world and which ones count as just one and which ones count as two. So it's really difficult.
It's very hard. And here's the other thing. There were some that were direct sequels to some. Some were like one-offs only in Japan and we never heard of them over here. There were some stuff that happened here we never saw over there. There were some games that were Hudson Soft making essentially a Bomberman game, but naming it something else because they branded it for somebody else. Like it's a weird twisted path. We'll get to all of that in a second. But here are the basics. The way the Bomberman worked, if you didn't get it from most of what I just described, you have two things going on mostly. You have this top-down view. In the past, they were all pixelated. There's, you know, plenty of versions of the game, including the most recent version that are all, you know, polygonal and modern and stuff. We'll talk about those as well today because I think there's an important discussion to be had about where the games ended up. But anyway, they consisted of really two main modes of play, single-player campaigns. You had to defeat enemies, clear levels. A lot of times that meant revealing a key or a set of keys or destroying some structures that would then open up a gateway or door for you to go through. Lots of variations on that stuff. Including a mechanical change that happened with the Sega Genesis version called Mega Bomberman, I guess named for the Mega Drive.
They like to name their Bombermans after the systems they were being put on. And this is on the Mega Drive, so it's called the Mega Bomberman.
Yeah, but you know, reminder for those who may not be aware of this, I don't know who you'd be, but it was called the Mega Drive in Europe and in Japan. Here it was called the Genesis, because I don't know why. We're going to find out one day and do a whole episode on that. But
yeah, we need anyway. The naming conventions of the consoles has been on our list of things to get right. Nothing has made me feel more part that this is a full world than playing retro games, because the digging around of all the different markets through the world is really connected me with my gamer friends in other countries.
Oh yeah, that being able to suss that stuff out and figure out why they used to do it the way they used to do it, but then look at it today. They'd never do this today. You'd never launch a new console and go, well, in Japan it's called this, but here we'll call it. They don't do that anymore. Because why?
Because we have the internet.
We're all connected, man. Everybody knows each other. We're not gonna go for that. That'd be dumb.
Yeah.
So they still do that with some movies and stuff, but that's usually cultural stuff. We'll get into it at some point. The games that I will probably mention the most today will end up being this Saturn game, Super Bomberman 2 for the SNES, Bomberman 93 for the TurboGrafx or PC Engine in Japan. Again, another weird name thing. Mega Bomberman rather for Genesis, and then Bomberman R, which is the latest release, 2017. That is on PC, Switch, modern consoles, all of that. There's also a newer one, 2021's Bomberman R Online, which is
that's
like...
That's the most recent thing. Those have all been getting mixed reviews, right?
Oh, very mixed. And I can tell you exactly why in a couple of cases. I actually think that R is underappreciated for its single player is very good. The boss fights are amazing.
Now, does that have the God Bomber? Is that the final boss on that one?
I'm not there yet. I'm actually playing it because it ended up going on sale. Well, so it's normally $39, which might be a bit much for what the package is. On Steam, but they had a Steam sale yesterday and it went down to $7. I'm like, well, I'm getting that. So I went and grabbed it and played the hell out of it last night. And it's a good Bomberman game. The single player stuff's great. I haven't played anybody multiplayer on it, but those are always kind of the same and great. Like they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to get worse in multiplayer necessarily. I did play the online one, which is free, by the way, free to play.
Okay, right.
And that
right.
online one lets you, it's basically Tetris 99 for Bomberman. It's a battle okay. royale. So you go in there with 64 people and you're on different grids. You're not 64 people on one grid. It's 64 people spread out through a number of grids, and you fight for a little while, try to kill each other. And after a timer ends, all of the killing stops. You can't kill each other. You can still run around, but gateways open on the left, right, top, and bottom. And then you can take off between these rounds, up or down, side to side, and you can stay. But either way, you're going to either join some players that are over here, or you're going to stay here with some players. And then the next round starts, and we're picking them off one by one until you are really on one grid, and the remaining, six people are there, and then they fight until one wins. So it's a battle royale, and it's fine, it's okay, yeah.
and it's still top down. It's not isometric or nothing like that, right?
Isometric slightly,
slightly
in the same way that they're all, none of them are truly top down, like direct right. top down. So even this one right here, the Saturn game, this isometric top down view. Combination
right.
that's what the new ones are too.
As long as the only thing that's missing is like the bottom of my shoes when you get along the top row of these grids, as long as I'm only missing the bottom of my player's shoes, and then if I'm in the bottom row, as long as my head isn't getting cut off very much, because when it goes beyond that, it gets very frustrating. I've played some of the other ones that were more truly isometric, where they're like leaned out mm-hmm. and you can't see where your guy's at. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. So this one right here, R, which I'm showing now, is the more modern one. And in the single player, it does zoom in quite a bit because it's more, mm-hmm. The story shit going on. But in the R online thing and all that, you can see all these little grids to the side. Those are people running around in those.
Right. Those are the other levels you're going to eventually merge into, right?
Yeah, you're eventually going to knock enough people out that you all end up in the same place.
Right, you're getting brackets. You're bracketed.
But they keep essentially, the multiplayer view is essentially what the old school stuff is.
Right.
And
that's where I think Bomberman has tried to deviate away from its original formula all the way back from 85, that's what most of us think about it, from the NES. Anytime it gets outside of that, it fails for me. This is Bomberman.
It doesn't to me. Top down, yes, I agree with that. Like you essentially right. don't give me third person like behind the back freaking shooter Bomberman. I have no mm-hmm. interest in that. I think that you have to have this perspective for it to be the fun Bomberman thing that we all think of. Right. However, this is what I discovered and why I'm so shocked by it. I didn't expect to love the single player stuff as much as I have. In all cases, like I really love the campaigns in the Saturn Bomberman, Super Bomberman 2 for the SNES, Bomberman 93 has a great, very simple campaign, but a fun one.
And that's the TurboGrafx one, which is our PC engine. And that's the one that Hudson Soft actually developed, right, with NEC.
Yes, that's correct.
Their console.
Yeah. And as far as I know, that's a really good question. I don't know. Like Hudson Soft is a weird company because they made a lot of games, not just these. Right. They made a lot of games, especially in the 16-bit era. So there's always something on some RPG by them or some, Final Fantasy like game or something. They made a lot
they
of different
Nintendo
games.
And Nintendo loved
them until they sold themselves to Konami, and Konami doesn't seem to love anyone. We'll get to that later.
Especially Hudson.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I think it's not as being a Konami property isn't it a death knell? But they're kind of.
But
poopy.
You can be on the wrong side of the Konami.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? It's like a tsunami. Konami is what that's
yeah.
Like.
It's bad.
But anyway, we'll get to all that stuff here in a minute. But the idea is that you do the strategic overhead bomb thing, and if it's with other players, then you do it in a very rapid, crazy, try to eliminate each other, blow each other up kind of way. Very fun, easy to get into, hard to master, so much fun screwing with your friends and your family. It's an amazing multiplayer experience to this day on all of these versions. They're all really fun multiplayer. I played some with my daughter, on multiple versions, and we had a blast, like laughing.
I'm loving it.
And cheesing on each other and just, giving each other shit for being bad at the game, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And everybody's bad. Well, I don't know. I'll take that back. Did I put the video in there? There's this one guy. He was the Gold Bomber Man. And I think they were playing the Saturn version. And it was a YouTube video. And he was freaking amazing. He was destroying the competition.
Yeah.
But most people I played against, it's like you said, it's like, it's easy to play, but really hard to master. You can. Yeah, I constantly doing stupid stuff. I'm like, I think I got a pattern down, mm-hmm. but you're watching a lot of things going on the, below in different areas of the screen. You don't pay attention.
Yep.
You lay the bomb down and suddenly you realize, uh-oh, now I've trapped myself. I'm screwed.
Yeah. There's some randomness there too, because sometimes, every one of the games I played, I confirm this in every case, when they start over after you've died or something, especially in multiplayer or in single player, right. They randomize where the blow-upable stuff is. So creatures start in a different place and barrels are in a different place.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
And in different versions, I don't like these versions. I'll tell you which ones I don't like. I don't like the ones where you have to blow up the blocks to find the exit. I prefer the ones where you have to blow up like towers and then you just leave the area. I prefer that type. Ooh, I don't
Let me tell you about a little game called Saturn Bomberman then, because that is the bomb that way. No pun intended. I'm with you. Like the hiding the exit sucks. Although you may as well for me, because I blow up every barrel because I want every power up that's there.
True.
Because when I get to that boss fight, if I've still got all my bombs with me, I can rip people's buttholes.
See, maybe that's the difference. I never make it to the boss fight.
Oh, you got to get to these boss fights. They're so good.
I played just about every, I played most of the ones you played today up to the first boss fight. I fought for a little bit, quit, and went, okay, let's try the next one. Yeah. And so I kind of robbed myself of that. But I never really played Bomberman much.
You also had a very busy week, and it's understandable that you didn't have the busy time week. I had.
But that's okay. I didn't realize what we were undertaking. Because if there's been one Bomberman, I probably could have done it.
Yeah, if it was one game, sure. Like, here's this boss fight on the video is about to start. I actually did this one. This little rocket on top of this castle comes and lands and kills these guys you think you're fighting. They're out of there. And then then it turns into a giant robot, and you fight that. And there's tons of fights like this, and it's all amazing. In fact, just to give credit where it's due, the single player in R, the 2017 R, I don't know what R stands for. It's weird. I don't know what
really?
It is. I have no idea. I don't know what R means.
Yeah, I don't either. You'd think, but see, R type? I don't know. Isn't it Japanese? Isn't it kind of like we do with X? It makes it cooler if you make it an X.
If it's an X. Know. Or maybe it's like S rank, the way we do S rank.
That's a good question. We're talking like somebody on the internet doesn't know.
Yeah, somebody somewhere knows why R is important. But anyway, the point is
somebody is screaming at your radio right now.
Yeah, the important thing is though, the bosses what was my point? I was going to say about the new one. The single player has amazing boss fights. They're really dynamic and cool.
Okay.
And doable. Tricky at first, and you're like, wait a minute, I got to understand this pattern.
Well, right now, it looks like this guy is fighting a house with a Furby on top of it.
Yeah, it's a big robot house.
Sum it up?
It's weird. It's a very weird boss fight, but fun and difficult and tricky and blah. I really like the bosses. You got to play more single player then, because there's some really good stuff on, especially the Saturn version. It's very good. Anyway, what was I going to say? So there are close to 100 of these things. Now, we're not going to go down and talk about every game. We're never going to do that when there's tons of something. But there's a list out there. If anyone ever wanted to see what they were, or what those games are, there's also a list on this same listing. Like Wikipedia's got a great list where they talk about every game, but they also list, games that were ripoffs, games that are inspired by, is that a way of putting it?
There you go. Is it a true clone or just inspired by something that has similar vibes, or is it a true where you're blowing stuff up with bombs with just different characters.
Yeah. And I found one this week that I cannot wait to recommend to everybody out there listening. Before we go much further though, let's play a little audio from these. Here is your Bomberman 93 on the TurboGrafx/PC Engine. All right. So this was probably the first Bomberman game I played actually. And I did it at a store, and it was probably Toys R Us or something. So when the TurboGrafx actually showed up, and I was like, gotta check this out. And I played this game. Very get some bombs going here. Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's still very good. 93 holds up. It's a good game.
Is that 93?
Yeah.
I love this. And that's the thing about Bomberman. You have a wide variety of this music rocks on this Bomberman game, mm-hmm. and then others, there's nothing here.
Yeah, exactly. You're totally right. It's weird. Like, the old NES stuff's not that great. Also, the weird little sound he made when he walked on the older games, terrible. Terrible. They got rid of that, thankfully. But to contrast that, here's your SNES version of their greatest Bomberman, which I believe is Super Bomberman 2. 3 is fine, but it didn't do anything better than 2 did.
Right.
1 is passable. 2 is great. And here's that. Oh, yeah.
That is delicious.
This is the one that this is the one everybody played the most of. Like, this thing got all the 4-player living room time.
It's so buttery.
It is buttery. That shit, the sound chip in that thing was buttery.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. It's kind of lubed.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. Lubed up sounds.
That was 2?
This is 2 on the SNES, yeah. Very jaunty, very well animated. The sprites are among the best they ever did, I think. It was a very good game. This game is this close to number one for me of all the ones I played. It's like a hair away from number one. Number one is the Saturn game, but this close.
I peeked in on Bomberman 2, and there was something just a little bit better about the pacing for me on the Mega Bomberman. I was very close. I couldn't decide which, but I really feel like maybe the pacing was working better for me on the Mega. And, of course, the Saturn was the best.
No, it was amazing. Agreed. You know, you had you could do 10 players. That was unheard of on the Saturn.
Okay, I got to ask about that.
Yeah, go ahead. I actually played it once, so I can answer every question you have.
So right. So here we go. So we got our we got our 10 player game, right?
Yeah.
Where do you live? Because I don't know if I could fit 10 people in a room.
We had a group of friends who all went to some guy's house, and it was my Saturn. His Saturn, his game, but I brought the multi-taps.
Yeah. So, we got to multi-tap that baby. So did you go in there and like smack and go, multi-tap this thing? Yeah.
I think so. I mean, we were in heaven.
Two ports for the Saturn?
Two games. One was Japan only. One was this one. Saturn Bomberman.
No. I meant the controller.
I think you meant ports of Bomberman. Yes. There were two. I think
so. You'd have to have two multi-taps.
Two multi-taps that would do 5 people per plug or per. Yeah, so one plug per tap, and then the tap split out to 5.
Right. And then did you have the Bomberman branded multi tap?
Or was it
just plain old gross looking Saturn?
That's a really good question. I don't remember where we got those.
I went down a rabbit hole with some multi taps, by the way. And I gotta say, okay, so you took the multi taps, and you hooked it up, and did you get 10 full players on there?
Oh yeah, hell yeah, it was great. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was amazing. I've never played anything like that.
Did everybody bring their own controller?
Not everybody, but we had 10. I don't remember how we got them all. I think that guy had 4 or 2, and I had 2. I brought 2 for sure.
Four is a reasonable amount of controllers to have for most people.
Yeah. And those controllers, if I remember right, were like $20. And that, wasn't outrageous or anything, but I remember thinking that I'd never seen anything quite as cool as 10 people playing a single game on a single screen ever again. And I think I may have been right.
That's another question. How big was that TV? Because I get annoyed when I play a split screen game with somebody. I'm like, I can't see anything.
In this case, you're never split. You're just one,
Yes, it's one screen, you're all, how big are you? Like little bitty people still?
I mean, pretty small, but he was using a big projection TV, like a, what do you call it?
Okay.
I don't know what
that's called. Projection screen TV?
Yeah, so
it's
probably.
Rear projection?
Yes, and it was probably like 40 inch, whatever was cool then. His dad had money. We didn't know. We didn't ask.
God, I bet you that was a stank fest.
Oh, yeah, dude. Bunch of dudes in there.
10 sweaty teenagers. Was you teenagers?
No, we were in our 20s. We'd have been like.
Oh, God,
20,
even worse.
Was that 96, I think, that game came out on there? So
right.
Something like
half of
like
you
that.
Had kids, weren't taking care of yourselves. Oh, God. The stank.
I know, right? So it was awesome, though. And I think that's one of the things right. that puts it ahead. But I'm going to go ahead and say I think the single player is also superior to the other. And I really right. got into those, this like I mentioned this week. The single player really won me over and got very addicting. Again, the SNES version, very close to my pick.
Right.
Because it's a fun campaign with these cool dynamite mechanics and like this these trippy switching mechanics and just stuff I didn't expect. It to have, and I also still think I think the sprite I might actually like the sprite and animation work in it better than the Saturn version, but the right. overall game experience on the Saturn I think is the better game, which is hilarious because the Saturn is, you know, kind of not a failed console, but nobody goes oh man, the Saturn, remember how awesome yeah. that is? No one does that.
And so yeah, you're right, the Saturn was notoriously hard to develop for as well, and so it was kind of surprising. But what, let me tell you something about Bomberman.
Yeah,
Bomberman goes where Bomberman wants to go. Bomberman's going to be ported to every freak. Now, they don't port Doom, but they do seem to put it on everything because it seems to run on everything. But yeah. Bomberman, it seems like, oh, you got a device there?
Yeah.
Let's figure out a way to put
Bomberman on it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The other thing, I mean, the Saturn, it's notoriously hard to work or build with or work with, was not,
yeah.
Was mostly when it came to 3D games because. Here's the problem. Sony didn't know, or excuse me, Sega did not know that that generation, that next step generation after 16-bit, you know, Genesis, Sega CD, all of that, they didn't know that 3D was going to be the thing. As rudimentary yeah. as it was, the PlayStation and Sony did know this. Sega didn't plan for it. Now, the device was capable enough to do some decent 3D, but very hard to develop for doing 3D games.
Yeah.
2D games... I think that thing was built for 2D.
Games.
Some of the, like, their fighting games, 2D, like, shmup shooters, that kind of stuff. Still some of the best that's ever
where,
made.
Yeah, that's where they really shine, because they always went pretty high on the processor. As a matter of fact, didn't they put, I think they had two processors in there as one of the problems that created. I got to go back and study some more on the Saturn. By the way, this person who's playing Bomberman right now,
yeah.
way better than me.
Oh,
they're,
yeah,
like, clearing out whole areas with really well-placed bombs.
Yeah, if you're good at like putting your bombs everywhere and you got like five extra bombs,
right.
you play like this guy, then you're not as cool as this guy.
And those magnets, man, they really confuse me. But that's the thing about Bomberman. It always felt like Bomberman, even from its inception, it always seemed like it was the prototyping game. Mm-hmm. Like you would get a new piece of hardware and you go, okay, well, let's use the simple mechanics of Bomberman and let's see how we can make it shine on the hardware. Because I don't think anybody was ever going, oh, we need another Bomberman.
Yeah.
Not 2017 when we realized we hadn't seen it for almost 10 years. Right. But up until that point, I don't think it wasn't really like people were clamoring for a Bomberman. It was just kind of like, well, you know, we have a simple game mechanic and we can, you know, we can use some of these, reuse some of these elements and just put it in there and it'll be good to go. People love it.
The 07 game is the one that I mostly destroyed my kids in because we had a 360 and the console is a couple years old and they sold a version on Xbox Live Arcade and I forgot the name of it, but it was like $9 is all. I remember this being cheap at the time. And we downloaded it, and it was this really – it didn't have a single-player component, but it had this really good multiplayer, and we played that on the 360 until our eyes bled. It was great. Loved it. I don't remember the name of it, and I didn't play that this week because I couldn't find it. But, oh, this boss fight's
awesome. How did you not find it? If you go to archive.org,
yeah,
I won't say there's every, but there is a ton of Bomberman in there. And, of course, you got it. Oh, so Hudson – pretty much resides in the time frame that we mostly review for, the retro times. They pretty much existed entirely in there, maybe a little bit after. So, yeah, it's kind of does Konami love Bomberman like Hudson did?
No,
I don't think so.
No,
so it's on archive.
It's unfortunate because I think they could really do something cool.
Yeah.
Beyond what they've already done, which they've done plenty of cool things, but I just think there's an opportunity.
And how was Bomberman not Hudson Soft's mascot? Why did they go with Bonk?
Bonk was, everybody thought your mascot had to be a platformer, I think. And Bonk was one of those. I think there was probably something to that. I kind of like Bonk. It's okay. You know,
it's okay.
It's not my favorite
game. It's no Bomberman.
It's no Mario, you know. But Bomberman. But also, they were really Bomberman, the minute he could talk, boy, that got real, real stupid real fast. So let me give you some. Let's go down sound road here a little bit. Here's your Mega Bomberman for the Genesis. Sounds very Genesi right here, especially this next part.
Oh,
it's just got that dirty fart sound that the Genesis sound chip always had.
That is not buttery. That's that's like horseradish.
And I appreciate it more now. You know, I actually like it. I actually kind of like the crusty sound of a Genesis. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's kind of my thing.
I like it.
But it had, you know, that was one of the big surprises here. I kind of thought back in the day people were like schmooing all over the Genesis version. It was good. So that single player campaign, very good.
Yeah.
Like surprisingly good. And they introduced a new.
It's not as flashy as some of the other ones, but it's a good solid.
Yeah, the gameplay's really solid. And my favorite part of it, I think, is they added a mechanic where you ride on a little creature. You can unlock an egg.
It was, I think it was 93 on the NES, or which one was it? That they started doing the mounts. What they're like, there was like a term, it was kind of like a, come out like Joey or something, because it was like mistranslation.
I thought the Genesis version was the first with mounts.
I
might be wrong on that. But that and the Saturn version both had the mounts. The Nintendo version did not have them.
You could ride around now on the mounts. You showed some of it earlier, definitely on the Saturn. So yeah, you could ride around on, which I thought was, I kind of liked it, but I didn't really make much difference to me.
Well, if you know you can jump with them, then it will make a huge difference, right? Because you can jump over a block that's in your way and get out of a nasty situation. But it also acts as a second life or a skin. Because if you get hit,
I didn't think about that part. You're right.
Because if you get hit, that thing dies, and then you still live. But if you get hit,
right? Because it's like the Tauntaun. You know, it dies, you get to live.
Yeah, or I mean, the ultimate Tauntaun Yoshi, I guess. You know, Mario gets to live.
Oh, that's true. That's what they were trying to go after, right? They were like, oh, look, Yoshi was cool. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this thing with. He's not that cool. I mean, I'm just going to say he's kind of lame. Whatever. We'll talk about Yoshi a different day. I have a lot to say about Yoshi. Kind of sucks. Here's your Bomberman for the. I'm going to start with some dialogue. The Saturn version had some ridiculous dialogue. Here's the opening with some bad guy stuff. Here you go.
The Mini Gang is trying to take over the world. Mr. Mini has unleashed Kraken, the legendary monster, and stolen the crystals that have sealed him in the tower. Now he's using Kraken's evil power to conquer the world.
All right. That's some doctor that's like Dr. Wowie kind of guy trying to get you to do shit. It's fine.
I'm down with it, though. It totally reminds me of like after school cartoons or Saturday morning cartoons. I totally felt the vibe.
Yeah. And the Saturn version, man, the music was amazing. Here's a taste.
Right.
I've been playing this all week. It's great, right?
Now, the Saturn had some really good sound. They really stepped it up.
Yeah. Listen. This boss fight, let me skip ahead a little. Good stuff. I especially like this one because it's like this is like crooner music. Listen to this lounge music. Isn't that great?
I hate that system was so hard to program for. I mean, it just drove developers away from it, and I hate that because I really like what is there. The people who put in the effort. He really made some stuff.
And don't forget, like, again, if you were making a 2D game, all the tools were there. If you're making 3D, they weren't ready. The machine wasn't ready. So it's your fault. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the people's fault. I don't know what that means. All right. There's this other part I really like. If I can find it. Here we go. I like what it sounds like when you start. Oh, wait, that's not it. This one right here. It's good.
Oh, that is so good. It gets you jazzed.
Yeah, it gets me going.
I'm jacked up now.
Yeah, I loved it. Made me want to start, you know?
Yeah.
Here's some sound from the game. It's just a more airy kind of, you know, bomb sound, like more real bombs. Just had atmosphere to it. That Saturn game's great. I'm a big fan of, like, when that CD change happened in games, Sega CD first and everybody else after, I liked what that did to everything. It made everything seem classier and better.
CDs just made audio. It was made for audio. So, yeah. Of course, everything audio-wise just went to a million. It was just so much better.
Yeah, and I love me. Don't get me wrong. I love me some 16-bit, 8-bit music, retro, chiptune, whatever. But
it has its place.
Yeah, there's something about that. Okay, now we're going to talk about the new thing. Came out this last, well, this update came out last year, but 2017 is really the game because it's got the single-player component, and it starts with this.
You who dwell in darkness, you who begrudge the light, awaken, for I now bestow upon you an opportunity for revenge.
Real dumb, right? Super dumb.
I'm down with it because it kind of goes back to the origins of Bomberman, a robot underground, trying to work his way to the surface to become a runner, to a human.
Yep.
So that sounds like it harkens back to that.
It does. It absolutely does. They get into the lore more, maybe, but then they have dialogue like this and it makes you want to kill yourself. So listen to this.
Planet Bomber. The home of the Bomberman brothers, 8 righteous robotic life forms devoted to keeping the universe a safe place. Day and night, they train diligently.
Hey! I told you all to come to today's training. Why weren't any of you there?
It's bad.
Ouch! That hurts my feelings. It's bad. I also love it because it kind of feels like it acknowledges that it is retro of some sort.
Yeah, no, it's
Bomber
it's
Planet with Bomber Brothers. Oh my God! Won't you just go kiss Nintendo?
Yeah, kiss them on the lips. The Bomber Brothers. Sir John Card in the chat says the downside of those CD systems were the janky FMV and video games. I don't think that's not a downside. That's just the best we could produce when it came to video compression.
But you're right; they shouldn't have probably done it because we were not ready for videos on CDs. There's just not enough storage there. It's the perfect size for audio, but not for video.
Yeah, it's different now. You know, Blu-ray sized 40 gigabyte discs are fine for content like this, but back then, you know, they're just the storage medium. They had nothing to do with how well the video looked. They actually just made it possible to play video at all, I guess. That's the deal.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So did you ever did you played Lode Runner, right?
Yeah, I loved Lode Runner. Although Lode Runner gets brought up a lot as a forerunner to this, but isn't there some other connection? There's some connection to Bomberman directly, right?
So Lode Runner 1984 for the NES. This is actually how they made the first Bomberman for 1983 for home computers. Mm. They took assets from Lode Runner, also a Hudson Soft, and they used the enemy from that and turned him into the protagonist in Bomberman. And that's where we got him from. So that's the reason why it looks the same. And so that's the reason why the stories kind of tie in. The idea is the Bomberman is a prequel to Lode Runner. And that when he makes it to the surface, he becomes the runner. And then he is Lode Runner.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
That ilk.
I did not know that they were that connected. I knew there was some, like, gameplay wise, it makes sense. Because in a way you're kind of, I don't know, you're running around and filling holes and removing things and.
Right.
There's some DNA there, but
and they kind of shunned that lore. They wanted it to be in the same universe, or somebody did, and then they decided we're gonna kind of pull back. But I like it. I think should keep it. I think I would embrace it at this point.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
What is Lode Runner doing right now?
Nothing.
What is he doing? Nothing.
Nothing. Lode Runner sucks. I mean, no, it's fine. Yeah. People love Lode Runner.
But
I'd play this before I'd play Lode Runner again.
Yeah. It's so hard to say, isn't it?
It's Lode Runner. Okay, what else was I going to play for you? That's probably it. Oh, there's a gold cartridge version of Super Bomberman. The one they put out for the Famicom. I guess it was the final one. Right. So the fifth one?
Yeah, the Super Bomberman for the fifth one.
Yeah, there's the standard cartridge, right? And you just go get it. And then there was this gold one. They only sold this through the Koro Koro comic, which is some Japanese thing. Gold cartridges included extra maps and battle mode. And if you want to get that today, you're going to pay about $300 for just that cartridge on eBay and stuff.
I got it.
Do you have a, hold on, I got one right here. Here's an eBay listing.
You get the, eBay listing. So you got $300 for that gold cart. I bet it's not made out of real gold. I bet it says painted.
Yeah.
There it is. Look at that. That's pretty though.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Oh, it's used. I can't use somebody's used gold cart. I can't do that.
Why? Why not this? Why?
That's gross.
I bet you pay more than $344 for one in the package though.
I guarantee it, especially if it's been graded. Oh boy, you want to get some people, you want to get some retro people angry.
Yeah.
Just ask them about them putting unopened boxes into freaking plastic containers and grading them. Woo, boy, that'll make people angry.
Yeah.
You ain't ever seen people get so mad.
Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, if you pick one up, our mailing address is P.O. Box.
Yeah, Brian, send it straight to Brian. He's got a sugar daddy. It's fine. He'll find it.
That's right. Hey, sugar daddy, if you run across a gold cartridge.
Yeah, and it ain't Zelda or Ocarina of Time or whatever it was. So this is an interesting little bit of trivia. The Bomberman in Europe situation. So this is, again, we're back at a time where everybody changed names all the time because they thought it would work better for certain markets. European versions of Bomberman were renamed and reworked as Eric and the Floaters.
Makes sense. Sounds just like a Bomberman.
Yeah, Eric and the Floaters. I don't even know what to make of that, but they marketed it with an Indiana Jones type protagonist and Dyna Blaster at the time of its release. Yeah. The troubles were in full swing, and the IRA terrorists were all over the news carrying out actual bombing attacks in the real world. So, you know, they didn't go great. They didn't want to say Bomberman, so they named it Eric and the Floaters. Yeah.
Bomberman. So they went with Eric and the Floaters, a much more subdued, but still the guy's blowing up things, right? Isn't he still got bombs and blowing up stuff?
Still blowing up stuff. Yeah. That didn't change that much.
Right. People in Europe, tell me, what does Eric mean? I know what is there like some localization that, you know, it's like we call Karens now, right? In the United States. It's very modern. That's what we call a Karen. Was Eric something? Was it like something very specific during that time period?
Don't know. Yeah, we'd have to hear from somebody on that. Let us know. The
only
80s,
floaters I know
90s.
Are the ones in my eyes.
Yeah, and watch out for those. You don't want floaters. The doctor will tell you to quit
Eric,
looking at things.
Eric and his floaters. Ah, can't see!
What was that movie with Magnum P.I. where he had those robots that would float into a situation? He was like a future cop.
We watched that on Film Sack. It was early on. Runner.
And he's going after Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons is the bad guy.
Is it just Runner? Something stupid like that?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember it.
Runners, maybe.
Runaway?
Runaway? No, that wasn't
Runaway.
That.
Might have been Runaway.
Oh, Magnum. Why am I typing in Magnum?
It is Runaway.
Tom Selleck.
You should remember that because your name is Runaway. Your name is Dunaway. You should change your name to Brian Runaway.
Yeah, because I associate everything that I hear with my last name. That's how memory works.
Yeah, that is exactly how memory works. They call that? Now I'm going to go down another hole. What's it called when you have a word or a sound that reminds you of a thing?
Right.
Is that called
a phonic? Phonic device. A mnemonic
device.
Johnny mnemonic device. That's how you remember that.
Demonic.
Whenever you just
demonic. Yeah. Johnny demonic.
Johnny. Yeah. Yeah. Johnny mnemonic device.
Nailed it. Anyway, here's something interesting. Indie Bomber was the protagonist of Bomberman GB2, based off famed film character Indiana Jones, probably without their blessing, I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking too.
According to the Japanese instruction manual, where this unique name originates, he is the grandfather of Bomberman. Given his distinct hat, he also shares a resemblance to the original pre-NES Bomberman design. His signature ability was the whip and riding the Moto Bomber.
Oh, now they really were riding into. Do you get to have a Sean Connery ride like side in the side cart with you? I wish
that's Bomber Man. That you're describing a better life if that happened.
I have a feeling that the Japanese have like this affection for making characters grandfather. It's rarely dad. Like we talked about the Donkey Kong thing, right?
Yeah.
It must skip a generation.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Grandfather, son, good. Dad, bad.
Maybe. There's maybe some cultural thing there we're not aware of.
Did you play any of the Game Boy versions of Bomberman?
I did.
I played,
let's see, the original release of just straight Bomberman on there.
Right.
And then the Game Boy Color version of Wario Blast, which is a game that had a commercial. I'm going to play this commercial. Check this out.
Okay.
Oh, the damage we can do. I love you. I love you.
Wario takes on Bomberman in Wario Blast in Game Boy and Super Game Boy.
I love it.
I guess they call the Super Game... The Super Game Boy is the Game Boy Color here. That must have been Europe. I don't know. I played that too. That game's not very good. Let me just say real quick.
Wario, it was a reskin of the Bomberman Game Boy, right?
A little bit. So it's not quite the same. They basically, the whole conceit of the game is you're just going to one-on-one take on a CPU-controlled opponent on the same map over and over kind of until you get to the next level and do the same thing over again. It's okay. I love the idea of Wario blowing shit up. I really do. And he uses bombs in all his games, so he's a perfect match for this sort of thing. Right. But that game's just kind of, man. I mean, compared to all the rest of it, there's just not much there. So
you're saying Wario did not hold up as well as we remember anything?
No.
Wario, or
no.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Brian, if you heard this.
We should
do
a whole thing on Wario and Luigi one day. Not Luigi. Waluigi.
Waluigi, yeah. We should. I'm fine. Wario's one of my favorite characters ever. I love him.
Yeah, yeah. We'll wear goatees.
Yeah.
And
there's two things. Wait, they don't wear goatees. They have mustaches. You're thinking of, they don't have goatees.
Thinking of.
I don't know what you're thinking of. Wario and Waluigi do not have goatees. I love that idea, though. You know what you're thinking of? I know what you're thinking of, Brian. It just hit me. Yeah, you're thinking of alternate universe where Wario and Mario are kind of that, right?
Yeah.
So you're thinking, oh, they must have.
But the difference is they have thin mustaches, right? Because the Mario brothers have thick ones.
Yeah.
And these guys have the pencil thin mustaches. That's where it does.
Well, Waluigi does. Wario has like a big one, but it's jagged, like a thing that comes out of his face.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Now, have you ever played one that sounded like this?
Eat my dust and lick my crack.
Okay.
Oh my God. That's offensive.
You might hear that and go, I'm sorry, what does this have to do with Bomberman? Let me play a few more. Whoops, that's not it. Here you go. Where is it? Wait, that's not it either. Here it is. No, where did I put it? I know I did this. Oh, here it is.
Come on, biatch. Come on, biatch. Come on, biatch. Ooh, come on, biatch. Come on, biatch. Come on, biatch.
Right? Did you hear Billy West in there?
I just heard Billy West.
Dust and lick my crack.
Yeah. Oh my God! How offensive is that? What Bomberman was that?
Let me skip ahead. Hold on.
I'll bust your ass. I'll bust your ass. I'll bust your ass.
I'll get some.
Ah shit! Shit! Shit!
Okay.
Now is that anything to do with Bomberman, or is that related? What is that?
This is a canceled Bomberman game that was being developed for the PC in 1997, called Atomic Bomberman.
Oh, Atomic. They blew it up.
Yeah, they were making it for the PC. It featured some very ugly pre-rendered sprites.
Right.
And was like just edgy, trying to be all edgy. It had a bunch of famous people doing the
this
works
had
for it.
Like late 90s, right? This is when we were in the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all being like super edgy. 97 was the year. Atomic Bomberman made by, let's see. Well, anyway.
Oh, this was the one that was not done by Hudson Soft. It was Interplay.
Interplay was doing it. Interplay did all the publishing for the Bomberman stuff on PC. They were doing this one directly. Right. So you had people like Charlie Adler. You heard him in there. He's Starscream and Transformer stuff. Billy West, you know him as Fry and Stimpy, Doug, all those guys.
Everything.
Doing some of the nastiest VO I've heard. I didn't play, but some of that stuff is bad. Like, some of that's real bad. Anyway,
yeah, that was pretty rough. I would hate to see where they go from there. Yeah, so
the game didn't get
made.
I'm
reading now that stuff was like hidden WAV files or something. So it wasn't like officially part of the.
Right. It was part of some Windows 95 CD-ROM game collection thing, and somebody farmed it out of there and went, what are these for? And no one...
I missed the days of finding developer crap they didn't clean up from CD-ROMs. It used to happen all the time. You get a CD-ROM, and if you explored it, you could find all kinds of unused mess, uncompressed.
Yeah, bunch of waves, bunch of
the
stuff.
The quality control was terrible on that kind of stuff back in the day.
No, it was really bad. I love it, though. Yeah. I love that exists. It's really great. The version of Bomberman for the NES, like the original thing everybody remembers, that thing was made in 72 hours. 72 hours.
So the one that came out of the NES that we know as the first Bomberman that we usually think of.
Yeah, you made it in like less than a week. And who knows what that meant, if those people lived or died. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, they did it that quickly.
Yeah. They just leaned into it. They said, you know what? See, that's what I told you. Nakamoto, the designer, I think he, you know, it's like, oh, so here's a tech demo. We need to make a game. We need a game for this hardware is what they're thinking.
Yep. There's a weird trivia about this where it says he ran out of gum while programming, so he started chewing on pencils. That's a weird thing to tell us, isn't it?
That's a weird thing to happen. I guess that's how he stayed awake. So I'm curious, 72 hours, like, did he sleep at all? Mm-hmm. See, I need to see that entire interview. Mm-hmm. Is that, you think that's BS?
No, I think
72 hours is where you think.
I think that's possible. I think probably they crammed that. I mean, the game is not that complex. Once you've got the basics down, I think you could probably do it.
Right. That's 3 days, though. But does that mean he worked 3 days, 72 hours nonstop? Because, yeah, you'd need to chew some gum for that.
You'd need more than gum, man.
I'd be chewing some pencils as well.
You need some Willy Wonka gum that tastes like food or something. And they don't. You're right. JC Calhoun points out in the chat, Japan, the video game industry, especially known over there for a bad work-life balance. They're terrible at that stuff.
Oh, there's such a great tell-all book that I have. And I mentioned on the show before, and I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's all about Japanese game developers just spilling their guts about all the trash they went through.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
It's bad. It's better today, I think, probably, right? I assume.
No. I'm sure it's just as bad. Anytime you still have young creative people who don't know the value of their own worth in a company who is getting a lots of money, there's always going to be exploitation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. So, you know, as far as things that have been inspired by it, I did want to mention this game because I ended up playing six or seven, not knockoffs, but games that are inspired by this genre and have tried to make games that are similar to Bomberman in some way.
Right.
And there's a number of them. I'm not going to talk about all of these by any stretch, but I'm going to mention one because it's awesome, first of all, cheap, second of all, third of all, available everywhere. No matter what console or device you have in a modern way, you can get it on that thing, but it also plays like a retro game. And it's a small indie game called Bomb Slinger. And the concept of this one is, there's a whole story in it, where you're this former member of a bank robbing gang in the Old West, okay? And you were in charge of, you know, blowing stuff up. You were the bomb expert.
Oh.
And it's all done in like 16-bit looking graphics and that sort of thing. This is the wrong link. Hold on.
I'm looking at it now. I went and looked.
I'm trying to show the chat.
So he's using an old school. So he's like not dynamite. He's not a dynamite slinger. He's literally an old school.
Oh, he's a bomb chucking bomb guy.
Bomb chucking guy.
Yeah. Now they do it in it's very spaghetti Western in terms of like its presentation and stuff.
Right.
But you're this guy, you're wearing like an awesome cowboy hat and you just, so as the story goes, when the thing starts, it kind of recaps and shows pictures of like, oh, he used to be in a gang and then the gang split up and then he met a girl and he settled down in a ranch and then the old gang came back and took revenge on him leaving and blew the ranch up.
Red Dead Redemption with bombs.
Kind of. They burned the place down and his wife is killed in the process.
No.
So the McMeans group or the McMeans band of outlaws or whatever, they're now kind of gone rogue and he's no longer with them. So he now needs revenge because his wife has been killed. And this is told in a very brief intro sequence. You don't have to do it every time you play the thing, but it's this fun little, like, you know, 16-bit ass looking thing. It's a weird combination of 3D and 2D that I really like. Small indie game. And he wants revenge. So your bosses that you're going after in the rest of the game, in the single player component anyway, are these ex gang members of yours that you used to run with. And you're taking each one down one by one. It plays like a roguelike. Did you see that at the end there? It's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he was trying to look like he was angry and shaking his fist, but since half his fist was off screen and down below his vision, it looked like something else.
It looks like he was cranking the old station wagon. Looks like he was
cranking it, getting the bomb ready.
A bit of that. Anyway, I like this game so much I bought it in three places. I'll get to that in a second because it's a weird thing that I did. Anyway, you start in your old burned out barn every game, and you go into procedurally generated zones. And these zones are, they play out like a Bomberman game where you drop a bomb, you kill the farmer with the pitchfork, and you do enough of them, it opens it up, and then you go to the next place. And you start with one bomb, and of course you're
bombing mad.
You're like working toward better bombs. The bombs are great. They blow up real good. I love the look of it. And you kill these cool pixel dudes who are all after you, and they all have different powers, just like all these games. They all have different enemies, and they do different things. Some will eat your bombs, or some will throw the bombs further away or whatever. There's also power-ups you can pick up and use throughout the game, and it has a whole system for that, almost like a magic system.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they're definitely sticking with the Bomberman formula. The bombs, they shoot off and you know, left, right,
oh, 100%.
Down. It doesn't have like a blast radius like in a center or anything, like a 3D game. So
yeah, no, it plays just like Bomberman. Great. Now, what's cool about it is when you level up, you gain levels. So there's a little bit of RPG going on. And when you do that, you gain the ability to add some kind of perk. Okay. So if this is starting to sound like a roguelike of some sort, that's because it is. Right. They've decided to make Bomberman into a roguelike and set it in the Old West. And that's what they did. So you have things like, oh, get an extra heart of life, or because there's no one hit kill. You get a whole thing. Oh, look at that goat. The goats love running to the bombs. It's great.
Oh, but I say, do they eat the bombs? They have to. They're goats. That's their job, right?
There's a certain kind of goat that will, but the level one goat doesn't. He just goes to butt it and then he dies because he's stupid. Oh. The guy in his long underwear is pretty stupid too. He's about to kill that guy right now. But anyway, you get a treasure chest and all this stuff. And like I say, every run is different. It's never the same mazes, never the same anything. It's all different. And there's often a store on one of these, so you'll go into a store and buy upgrades and stuff like that while you're out. Work your way to the boss, and eventually you've got, you know, multiple bombs you can lay, the radius of the blast, just like in Bomberman, that gets upgraded as you uncover those. It doesn't make you blow up all the corn or the obstacles in this game because it doesn't hide anything in them. It likes you, Brian, because you don't like that. It doesn't.
Right.
You don't like have to find shit in the corn that you got to blow up.
Yeah, I'm not
so where you get anyway. Those are from the enemies, dead enemies, and the shops, and sometimes just laying around like in a treasure chest. There's also gold, and that stuff can be spent in the shop on item upgrades as well. If you die, you start the game over. Yeah. Like a roguelike, but you may have kept.
If Hudsonsoft was still around, they'd be like, hey. Where's our money?
Yeah, they would probably do. There's a few games like this that are very taken from it. Right. But whatever, you can't copyright the mechanics.
I know you can't, but man, this really makes me want to take this and reskin it with Bomberman. And he just blocked himself in. He does what I do all the time.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm glad it's something different and new. I wanted something that doesn't look like Bomberman. Yeah, I just wanted. I like that it's this cowboy and his bombs, and I like that they leaned into this weird concept. Here's the other thing. All right. So it's, what was I going to say? So the single player is basically what I described. And the further you get, the more you unlock some, like, you know, oh, this boss dropped a necklace. It was my wife's and it gives me an extra heart of life. And now the next run, you can choose that necklace. And now you've got this perk through your next run.
See, I don't like that.
Oh, why? It's
like
great.
It's too much emotion. I like robots.
Well, I mean, good point. But it's all done in this very cheesy, over-the-top spaghetti Western kind of way. So it's not, they're not taking themselves too seriously.
It. I like it. It's good.
It's good. Very good. And one? It's only like $11 everywhere. I got this on Switch. I got this on
Switch.
Xbox 360, or sorry, Xbox Series X, I guess one as well. PlayStation has it. PC has it. I have it in Steam as well. I think the developer may have sent this to me on Steam. I'm not sure.
Right.
But I bought it in the other two places because I just really like the game. Here's the other thing. The multiplayer, it's as good as any Bomberman multiplayer I've ever played. In fact, maybe better because it's got these extra skill things where you can pick shit up and do wacky stuff.
I'll do that.
And me and Carter love this game. I would rather play this right now than Bomberman multiplayer, which is crazy because I love Bomberman.
Shut your mouth in the Bomberman episode saying that.
That's how much I love this. It's so good. So here's your modern way, one of your modern ways of playing it. Now there's obviously, you know, the real Bomberman I mentioned that's on Steam and that's on consoles. You can get Bomberman R. You can get Bomberman R online. If you're emulating, all of these games are available in some form or another. So it's not like you can't get them. But I'm telling you, if you want to support a small indie developer that gets the spirit of this, this is it. It's very good. All right.
Well, I like it. I'm going to pick it up.
Here's
I like it.
Here's some sound where you're fighting a boss. Check this out. This is great.
This guy's not laughing. The music I expected.
So it's not, the boss fights are much more raucous. The rest of it's kind of like, like more Western-y.
Right.
So
I got you.
Anyway.
That's what I expect.
Game's real good. I can't recommend that one enough. And I don't know what they're doing next, but that's cool. And they've been, this game came out a while ago. It was like 2018 or something.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's very good. All right. What else? We missing anything that we haven't mentioned? I think we got it all. We get it all.
We talked about a good bit. There's a couple of things, but not really worth mentioning. But I'll tell you this. We didn't even come close to touching everything that is Bomberman. I'm sure we didn't mention your favorite Bomberman. And if we didn't, you can email us at playretroshow@gmail.com and let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll be glad to ignore it.
No, we won't. We will listen to the hell out of it. Here are my favorites, top to bottom. Number one. Of Bomberman, okay? Not the fakery stuff. Best, Saturn. Very close runner-up. Super Bomberman 2 on the SNES. Very good game. Third, Mega Bomberman on the Genesis. Brian, give me your best list. What do you like?
I'm definitely going to say Saturn Bomberman, then Mega Bomberman, and Super Bomberman 2.
Okay.
Don't really have anything out of my top three. The rest of them, I didn't get to put in enough time to really say how it stood out to me. But I definitely know that Bomberman 93 looked interesting, and I did play a few of the Game Boy ones as well, and those were interesting.
Yeah, they're not bad. Those would be really fun to own, like to have it on a portable like that. I guess I could play them on my AmberNick. I'll have to mess.
I mean, it's there, and you know, the screens are smaller, the levels are a little bit smaller, so it's a little bit different flavor. I definitely wouldn't want to play with the link cable or anything like that with anybody. This is more of a, you know, small enough for just me.
Yeah. And someone in the chat asked if I was able to get Bomberman Saturn working on emulation. I used to own the disc. I don't know where it is. The answer is yes. And without Brian's help, I wouldn't have got it because apparently he had the only version that would work. So nice job, Brian.
Yeah. So I went and found the core was looking for. And if you want more information, I will be sure to send it to you. We found the core for RetroArch. We found the BIOS files we needed. Mm-hmm. And we found the CHD file, which is what you have to have. You may find a CDI file. That's not going to be any good for you.
Nope. Or the bin files don't work either. Oh, it depends on what you, I guess it depends on your emulator. But
They could, but I couldn't find any that worked that way.
That worked for Fighters Megamix, which lets you be the Daytona car in a fighting game.
Nice.
Yeah. This is the dumbest game ever made. It's so dumb. That was Sega basically saying, it's their Smash Brothers before Smash Brothers. That was them going, look, we got all these characters. We got Sonic. We got the Daytona car. We got all of the Virtua Fighter people. Let's make a fighting game with everything in it. And they did it. And literally you can stand on two tires and fight as a car. It's dumb.
Oh,
it's so dumb. Anyway, Saturn's great. I love that. I love that thing.
I'd like to have a real Saturn. I just would. Okay, so we've talked about me getting my console groove on, but I mean, I mostly just love the GameCube and the Sega Genesis. I have love for the other consoles too, but not like those two. But I do say if there was one more console I wanted to add to my collection currently, it would have to be the Sega Saturn, just because I like to fiddle around with it. Never got to play with it at all. I mean, I never had any access to the Sega Saturn. Mm-hmm. At all.
Yeah.
No friends, nothing.
Well,
so I'm interested.
That's unfortunate because I had a Saturn. I loved that thing, even though it was destined for not doing great against the PlayStation. It just wasn't. And I love my Dreamcast, but same problem. It was not going to handle itself against the PS2 very well. So,
right.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
All right. Oh, multiplayer, I'd go Saturn, Bomberman 2 on SNES, and Bomberman R, the new one. The new one's very good. Plays really great. I don't know what people's problems
are. So I'm not going to pick one.
Yeah, Brian had friends. You know how'd go. Oh, I do want to mention these because probably some people are like yelling this. I don't know, but Bomberman Quest for the GB, the Game Boy Color, and Bomberman Tournament for the SNES. They were very similar. Those were basically like Zeldafications of Bomberman. So it was like RPG elements. There was a big overworld. You know, it wasn't just this like basic gameplay. They tried to add levels and, you know, all kinds of shit to the thing. And it's fine. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them, but I didn't play those very much. They're just very weird. Bomberman 64 is like that too. Just a lot of weird above ground RPG stuff.
I wanted to check out the platformer stuff they had. I just never got to it because I was like, I really need to focus just on one area. So I just went, if it wasn't top down, I didn't mess with it.
My least favorite of the two GBA games, they just felt cramped to me.
Right.
They're called let's see. Ah, crap. I lost the, anyway, there were two versions of it. And one of them had a character, that Max Bomber guy.
Right.
And you could buy a version where you could play him, or you could buy the regular version. So it was almost like Pokemon Gold and Silver or something like that. But for Bomberman, it's weird. Those are okay. They're not great, though. Bomberman 1 for the Super Nintendo is not great. Don't know what's up there, but okay. It wasn't great. Okay. 2 is amazing. 1 is... And Wario Blast, mentioned that, already had potential. Way too simple. Wish it was more. And then Brian, I wish you had more friends to play multiplayer Bomberman with. You know what you should do?
I wish I loved a multi-tap kind of life, but I don't.
Here's what you do.
I just don't.
Here's what you do. Go get, for $7, get Bomberman R.
Right.
And then you and I can play over the internet.
Look up the, if you can pull it up, I'd love for you to see the multi-tap Bomberman multi-tap. That's, if I could find one, that's what I would want.
Look at that.
You'll probably find it.
That's the Saturn one. That is so rad. Saturn,
okay.
Okay. Let me show this off. So you could buy this. This is great.
Yeah.
This isn't what we had. We had some off-brand thing. This is.
I figured you probably had trash. That's what I usually have too.
Yeah. So the chat, there it is. It's the actual Bomberman head, the white Bomberman's head with a switch on it. It looks like maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, like a port on each side of his head, and then 2 on top.
Right.
That's only 4, though. Maybe there's 3 on top. I can't tell. That's great. You get
3 on top.
Brian, you got to get one. Why don't you get
one? I got to get one.
I never had this. I would get this just to have it. Oh, look at that. They made one for the SNES as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. That's sexy or what?
That's sexy.
I love Bomberman now.
Yeah. Now
I love the visual style of Bomberman more than anything. He makes me feel cozy.
Does he? Makes you feel cozy?
Yeah.
Look at this. I'm going to share a little something with you in the Discord, and I'll try to show the chat as well. Hold on one moment here. It's one of those WebP images. I freaking hate these things. That's what the pile of controllers looked like when we would play multi-tap, multiple people playing this game.
Right.
Like, yeah, how ridiculous is that? Freaking,
y'all, oh, I hate. Oh, one thing I never did dig on, even though I never had one, was that round Sega Saturn controller. That thing was so ugly.
Well, it was a beast, but you needed it to play Knights into, or what was that called?
Oh, that's their launch one that they had. We'll talk about that one day. Yeah. Too.
That was the first analog controller I ever had.
Yeah.
I think that came after, well, no, did that come before or after the N64? Now I don't remember. Crap. May have been around before. The same time. I don't remember.
Yeah. Like half a second before, right?
Yeah, maybe. But the actual D-padded six-button Saturn controllers, which are basically just like the Genesis six-button controllers, those are classic. Those are amazing.
I guess I need one because I just can't imagine. It just is so ugly. It has to be comfortable, though, right? It's like probably the most comfortable controller I've ever held.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Super comfy. Nice. But it's like holding a giant plate.
It's a pizza. It's like holding a personal-sized pizza.
Yeah. I used to say to
people, press the pepperonis.
It's like, you think your Xbox original controllers are big. The Saturn would like that word. Yeah, the Duke. You think those are Dukes? Look at these Dukes. These things are monsters.
Everybody put up your Dukes.
Put up your Dukes. If it's not as big as a Saturn controller, go on. All right. Excellent stuff. We're going to play Guess Our Game now, which is a real fun game that we play, and we have to start it with this.
Destroy it.
It's where we take an old video game, play a little audio, and try to guess what each other picked. We're doing these a decade apart. Mine is 1995. Brian's is 85. We didn't do that on purpose. We don't check with each other before these, so you know, never know what you're gonna get. But here it is. I'll play mine. The hint will be handheld. That's my hint.
It's a handheld from 1985.
Well, a game on a handheld system. I'll put it that way.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's not a handheld system, but here's the game. Check it out.
What is this?
figured out yet. I don't know why this music's in it. I can't figure out why this music's in it.
I know that song.
I know what I do that? Too, but I can't think of it.
Is this based on intellectual property?
I mean, if yes, it is.
Outside of gaming.
Yes, but intellectual property. But you'll still be surprised at what it's based on, I think. Because this music has nothing to do with the property that's...
It's the green. It's got to be. Because that song is, like, seeming it in my head. I don't know this particular version of it, but...
Any ideas? Give up? It doesn't even sound right. Nothing about it sounds like what it's supposed to be. That's a really hard one.
God, what is that?
That's a really hard one.
I don't know, man. I give.
All right. This is... The Adventures of Batman and Robin for the Game Gear.
Oh, my.
But why is that song in there?
I don't know. It's a pop song, though, but it doesn't have to do with Batman.
Nope. Nothing to do with Batman. Isn't that weird?
What is that song?
It's really weird. I couldn't figure it out. Because I just started playing some Game Gear games. And the Game Gear was notorious for having lag, music lag or sound lag when you'd change menus.
Yeah.
And you could hear it in that. Like the beat would go off and it'd be like, oh, there's an extra half second there. It shouldn't be there. The thing was kind of a piece of shit, but whatever.
You win this round, Johnson.
Yeah. We in chat. Yeah. Nobody in the chat got it either. So that's a really tricky one. Nice. I admit it. It's on. And by the way, I played a bit of it. It's very bad. Okay. It plays poorly. All right, poorly. Brian, here's yours. 1985.
Now this was given. Yeah, go ahead.
No, didn't tell me. Give me a hint. What do you got?
No, this is 1985.
That's it. 85.
That's right. Should I tell you who sent it to me? No, I'm not. I'll wait.
All right. I just know in 85 I was getting excited about Back to the Future. You know, got to get back in time. Yep. Here we go. Oh. Wait, I know this. I know this.
Would it help if I told you Jamie sent this?
Jamie sent it?
Mashup.
Paperboy. Paperboy.
Paperboy, that's right.
Is that it?
That's it, Paperboy.
Oh, it didn't help me to know it was Jamie. Does he love... Oh, no, he told me this before. He loves Paperboy. That's true. Yeah. He has said that. But I knew that... That music is so, like, burning in my head. Oh, my gosh. For a second, I thought it was that Frisky Tom game where you put the pipes back together and try to get the naked lady in the tub or whatever that deal was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It has a very similar vibe.
It does. It does feel like that. It's very sexy.
Yeah. Are you surprised that game didn't ever have any kind of resurgence or like a new take on Paperboy or any of that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm always thinking about Paperboy because, I mean, I would fly to that game to play it. Yeah. I just loved it so freaking much. And, I mean, I still got the same jam from like 720, yeah. Skate or Die. Yeah.
Skate or Die, baby.
I just love those games. But I just don't know, could you make those again?
I mean.
Because you would ruin it because it's such a simple gameplay.
Yeah. Unlike, say, something like Bomberman, where the mechanic is what drives it forward.
Right.
I don't know that 720 would drive anything forward. We already have better skating games, like maybe even better 2D top-down skating games. Like the Tony Hawk stuff for the GBA was really good. I don't know. Like that's a weird thing. Here's 720. I actually have this handy. Let me just play a little of it. I just want to hear this so I can be reminded. I don't know what's taking it so long. Tengen. I thought this was an Atari game. No. Oh, this is the NES version. Yeah. Do you think it says Skate or Die in it? Let's find out.
It absolutely does. You might even be playing, if you looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah. Let me turn this down. Sorry.
Sorry. Do you see who posted that?
Well, this is me playing on an emulator right now, live on the computer. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's me playing.
I was going to say, if you go to YouTube and you type in 720 Skate or Die, I've been comfortably at the top for views on that.
Really?
For 11 years, yeah.
11 years? Brian?
I'm constantly every week, man, I get messages going, I love this game. I forgot. Oh yeah, listen, thank you so much for posting this.
Are you kidding me? You're the one. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's like 33,000 views. Reminder, I've made absolutely, I've made $80 off YouTube in the 12 years I was there. Despite having videos with well over 1 million views.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it works weird. You got to have consistently have multiple videos in a row have millions of views, and then maybe you'll
get some. Yeah, I mean, like I have several millions of views. I have several in the hundreds of thousands of views, and still, like I said, 10 years, $80.
Yeah, that sounds like the life of a YouTuber.
This is not the place for me.
No, but it is the place for this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
We have an email to list to read. A couple of quick things, actually. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. We got one here from Michael Miller. This is actually a tweet. Twitter question from Michael. He says, Scott, I finally listened to Play Retro Show. Joust. I enjoyed it. Did your dad ever play any games for fun, or did he only play test them? He played all of them. He loved them. He played them all for fun. He was at heart a gamer. As much as you could be for a guy his age at the time in the 80s when we were doing this, because it was still very new in a lot of ways. But he loved it. He'd sit and play, oh my gosh, so many games for hours and hours and hours. So he loved playing them as much as he liked being in that business. The whole reason he got in the business because he loved playing them. So that was pretty cool. I'm actually going to sit down with my mom.
And he loved pizza, right?
He loved pizza, yeah.
Win-win.
I'm sitting down with my mom in a week and a half, who's now 82. And we're going to talk about this era. We've done this before, but I just want to get all our memories on tape, you know, and use some of that for the show.
I should do that with my dad. Me and him did talk about the time we were starting Play Retro. Uh-huh. And I was trying to dig in his head and see what I remember was correct and was correct. And I had remembered some stuff incorrectly. He had purchased our first Pong, Atari Pong from Kmart.
Yeah.
And he came home and it was like, we stayed up. You know, felt like we stayed up all night, but we probably just stayed up for a couple of hours. And I thought it was like in the middle of the night. It was probably like 10.
Well, because when you're a kid, that's what that stuff is.
Yeah. Details. Yeah. What's that?
That's what kids do. We don't know. We can't tell.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, okay. I thought he had said he'd got it from a friend or something. But my dad told me so many times over the years it fell off the back of a truck that I probably got all those conflated. So it helps to have someone to kind of back your memory up.
Well, that's where your TVs are coming from now, is off the back of a truck. That's what's happening now.
Yeah, that's where everything comes from. Yeah. Like, I need this off the back of a truck, please. No, I fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other email. So there's your answer there, and thank you for that. I'm happy if we get a cool tweet like that. I'm always happy to bring those up on the show as well. On the subject of Capcom and Disney, Robert wrote in from Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania, and says, hello, Scott and Brian. I heard you guys talking about the Capcom DuckTales game, which, by the way, I fired up the other day. It's a pretty good little platformer. It's good.
Not bad. It's not bad.
It's hard. It's freaking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't make them easy back then.
Those Capcom / Disney games were all right.
Yeah.
They had some good
The Genesis version of Castle of Illusion, Mickey Mouse. That was a good game. Yeah. I had that back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, I vaguely remember one. There were a few Disney Capcoms that were very well done. My friend had an NES and remember playing the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Mickey Mousecapade games. These were fun, but very difficult games. I agree. I had a Game Boy, and one of the games I played the heck out of was Mickey Mouse Dangerous Chase. Difficult, but I had a blast. Maybe you could do a show about Disney / Capcom games and crossover in general. Also, I don't know if you remember Bionic Commando. I just played Bionic Commando the other day.
Yeah, we did too. I don't think we talked about it during our run and gun episode, but
we didn't bring it up. It's a very different kind of run and gun, though, because that whole mechanic of like the arm that would tether you to the next building and then pull you up. It's really hard to get used to. It's a very hard game. And they tried to remake. There was a 360 PS3 era game. Bionic Commando : something where they tried to 3D-ify it all, and it was actually pretty good. And I don't know why they stopped making that. I wish they would have kept going. Like right now would be a cool mechanic time for a game like that. But anyway,
we need more bionic stuff. Everything needs to be bionic.
I agree. Bionic everything. Bionic Robert even for sending this email. Thank you for sending
bionic
that email.
Eric.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Is there a They're probably collections of Disney old games, right? Probably.
Yeah, I had, by the way, thanks, Robert, for sending that. And I think I've already picked up, or maybe want to pick up, the Disney Afternoon Collection. It does, I believe, have both the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, but I'm not sure about the other two games that are on there. I remember there's being some mixed reviews. It's like, oh, you gave us one good one and three craps, and they're $20 still because it's Disney Capcom.
Yeah, they like to charge.
But there's a few collections out there, and
Is available on everything. You can play this on. Yeah. Let's see, the Xbox listing I'm looking at. They have it on Xbox Series S and X on the One. Still $20. Yeah.
Oh, Tonda's in the chat room saying there's the Disney Afternoon. Okay. I thought Aladdin was in that one, maybe. Okay.
Oh, they got Castle. They have a 3D Castle of Illusion. When did that happen?
Oh, yeah. The Castle of Illusion is good. Oh, it's 3D?
2013? I need to see this. I really liked that game.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. This is like, it's still a 2D platform, but like shown in a 3D. I think they just redid it. Ooh, probably so. I'm going to check that out because that's still, I can buy that now on an Xbox for $9. That's worth
$9.
Wow. Sega is, Sega published that. I have no idea that. I had no idea. And I'm not even like, I don't care about Disney characters that much, but some of those games were so good, it didn't matter. I was happy to play them.
Yeah. They are one of the few companies that make pretty good games out of their IPs, usually.
Usually. Sometimes. Usually. Not always, but most of the time. Aladdin on the Genesis, we're going to talk about that one day because that was
phenomenal.
That was groundbreaking.
I mean, if you like Cool Spot, you got to like that, right?
Yeah. Although, if you bought the SNES version, totally different game. Completely different game for that property, which I couldn't understand. Like, why isn't it the same side-scrolling game just on the different console? Doesn't make any sense to me. It's weird. None. We'll get to all that at some point. But now, we have to get out of here. Before we do, though, a couple things. Our next discussion, Brian brilliantly thought this one up because I think it's a really good one to dig into. The Grand Theft Auto top-down games, Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, and a couple other weird offshoots you probably don't know about.
Yeah, some extended content, and then maybe I might dig in just a little bit to the top-down mode of the GTA 3. I'm not going to go too far into it because I think 1 and 2 is going to be where...
Yeah, that's kind of where our heads are at. But I think it's a bigger discussion because it leads to so much. Those GTA games were incredibly influential, not just in their own GTA universe, but... so many other games, even smaller games in that old era, were basically shown a template of how to do open world without having to have like monster hardware. You could do it. And that game did it. That's coming up. And don't worry, chat room is yelling out Marble Madness. We will. I love that game.
It is coming. We need to get back to our arcades. We haven't done an arcade in a
bit
or two.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll do this and then back to an arcade one, whichever it'll be. We were still talking about Pac-Man. I still feel like maybe we saved Pac-Man for that new collection that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm waiting for I want the collection to come out first before we... because I really want to know if I need to be mad about it or not.
Yeah, and if we need to be mad, we want to talk about it and be mad on the air.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's the thinking there. Real quick, if you'd like to support this show, and we really appreciate it if you did, it makes all the difference and makes it so we can keep doing cool stuff. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. That's the place. Super easy. Patreon.com/PlayRetro. Send us those emails, playretro@gmail.com, playretroshow on Twitter, and frogpants.com/playretro is our website, so you can go there anytime. Make sure you follow Brian. He and I both stream a lot of this stuff, especially Brian, which you can find at Brian Dunaway on Twitch, right? twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway, or not the Brian
Dunaway. Correct. It's just twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway, and I usually do that most weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Also, speaking of which, a little schedule change will be going forward for a little while on Tuesdays. This will be live on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. We're doing that for a bit. We got just a schedule change to accommodate another show that happens. And while that season's going on, we have to use Mondays for that. So the show from today forward until we let you know it's different will be on Tuesday, same time, 3:30 Mountain Time, every Tuesday afternoon. Right here at twitch.tv/frogpants. Okay, I think that's all of it. I think. Yeah, that's it. Go play some retro games, you guys. Yeah. It'll do your heart some good. I don't care where you play it, how you play it. Just play it and be reminded why video games used to be way more cool back in the day. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Play retro!
Play retro.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Eat my dust and lick my crack.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.